The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Truma. In Parshas Truma we start to learn about the building of the Mishkan, the sanctuary, which is also known as the Beis HaMikdash. And from here on in, there's many parshas to deal with this subject or related subjects to the Mishkan. This is after Klal Yisrael received the Torah. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, and Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yichu li truma. Speak unto the children of Israel that they shall take from me offerings, contributions. Me'ez kol isha she'yidvena libo tichu es trumosi. And from every person whose heart uplifts himself, who has a contributing spirit, take these my contributions. And then the Torah itemizes what should be taken, and these are all materials which were used for the construction of the sanctuary. And what were they? So it's mentioned here, Zov, Chesed, and Nechoshes, gold and silver and copper, Uscheles, Vargoman, Vesalash, Shoni, Vesheish, Vizim. And then there were materials such as wools which were dyed a bluish green, which was with the blood of a certain animal that lived in the sea, according to many opinions, called the Chalozim, Bargomon. Then there was another wool that was dyed purple, Visalashoni, scarlet, linens, goat's hair, Oris Elimodomim, Vaitachoshim. Then the skins, red skins from rams, and the skins from Tachoshim. Tachash was a special animal who had skins of many colors, and it was created Lishor. It was created only for the purpose of the Mishkan, a very beautiful animal. Yatzei Shittim. Yatzei Shittim was a very beautiful wood from the species of the cedar family. Sheman Lamor. And there was oil which was taken that was needed for the candles. Somim, L'shem and Amishcha, different types of scents of perfumes that was used for the oil of the oil of anointment, L'kteiris Hasamim, and for the burning incense, Avnei Shoham, the Avnei Meluim, precious stones. Stones that were called shoham, other types of precious stones, the ephod v'lachoshen that was needed for the garments of the kohen gadol, of the high priest. So these were the materials which were being collected here, which were being asked for from Klal Yisrael to contribute. Israel were very wealthy because they went out of Egypt with a great wealth, and they gathered a great wealth at the Bizas Hayam. At the spoils of the Red Sea. The Osuli Migdosh, what was to be done with all of this? You shall make for me a sanctuary. Vishochanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. Kechol asher ani mara eischa estavnis hamishkon veestavnis kol keilo v'chein tasu. All in accordance that I shall show Moshe, how to make the Mishkan, the sanctuary, and how to make every instrument, every vessel, every object that was to be in the Mishkan. The sanctuary was the tachlis, the ultimate goal in the serving of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the sanctity of Klal Yisrael. And it came after the giving of the Torah, because only after Klal Yisrael received the Torah, then could they come to this level of the Beis HaMikdash. And this sanctuary went with them in the desert for the 40 years that they were in the desert, Then it came into Eretz Yisrael, and it was there for a number of years in a number of places, until finally it found its permanent place in Yerushalayim and Har HaBayis, and which was known as the Beis HaMikdash. This, as we mentioned, was the ultimate sanctity given to Klal Yisrael. And its central point was the Torah. As the Torah immediately tells us now, what should you do first? Also, arein atzei shitim, you shall make an oren, an ark. And this ark should hold the Torah, the luchais, the tablets which I have given to you on Har Sinai. And later on, the Torah tells us, "Vino adati lechosh shom." This ark was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshi, which was the Holy of Holies, the most sanctified part of the Beis HaMikdash. And "Vino adati lechosh shom v'dibarti itcho." And this is where I will meet you, the Almighty said to Moshe, and I will speak to you here. Mi'al haKaporis mi'main shnei akruvim. From the top of the Oren, from the covering of the Oren, and there were two kruvim, these were the golden images. Asher al Aron Eidu says, Kol Asher Atzav Eishcho El Bnei Yisrael. This is where I shall speak to you, and this is where I shall command you and instruct you. Now, we can ask a question here. What did the Almighty need this sanctuary for? Or is Beis HaMikdash? Does he lack a home? Kodesh Baruch Hu has everything. The fact is, the Medrash Rabbah brings that this was a question that Moshe Rabbeinu posed to the Almighty. The Almighty has everything. All of creation and much more than that. So what did he need that we should build a home for him? Build for me a sanctuary that I may dwell amongst you. And secondly, if he does have a need for it, some type of need, what does it have to be built out of such physical materials? From gold, from silver, from copper, from the skins of animals, skins that were dyed with fish. Another question is, one of the major purposes of this Mishkan was lahakriv korbonis, in order that Klal Yisrael should bring sacrifices there. And this is what the Rambam writes. What did these sacrifices come from? They also came from very, very basic physical materials. The sacrifices came from ashor, from bulls. It came from sown from sheep, or it came from goats, or meal offerings from wheat, from wheat and from barley. What did the Almighty need this for? So these are some very plain questions that we can ask you. When we give some thought to the world that we live in, we see there is a contradiction. We have, firstly, a physical world, a world which is made from physical material, which we're very familiar with. And then there's another world, which is not Gashmi, but Bilti Gashmi, which is a non-physical world, a non-material world. It is a spiritual world. And these worlds are two separate worlds, and they're somewhat in contradiction of each other. Because what is physical is not spiritual. What is spiritual is not physical. The fact is, they contradict each other in their very essence. Because a spiritual world, or something that is spiritual, means that it's non-physical. And something that is physical means it is physical and non-spiritual. So they contradict themselves in their very essence. These are the two worlds that man lives in. Now you have different types of approaches towards life. You have one group of people, the Yordim Legamri Lesech Elam Agashmi. They throw themselves entirely, they submerge themselves entirely in the physical world. The Rambam brings an expression on these type of people. He mentions this at the beginning of Perakei of Hilchas Deis. They say, "Achol usheseh ki mochorem namus." Let us eat well, let us drink well, because tomorrow we die. So you have people who live entirely for this world and for this physical world. Their whole ambition, their whole life, is based on this. For example, you have those who pursue all types of physical pleasures, the physical pleasures of eating, of drinking, and all types of tanugi aguf. This is what they search for, this is what they want, this is what they live for. Or you have those who search for physical wealth. They pursue their whole life physical wealth. They are totally occupied with the collection of silver, of gold, of wealth, land. There are those who pursue possessions, beautiful possessions. They want beautiful clothing, beautiful chariots, beautiful jewelry, beautiful homes. Every individual, in accordance to his own specific personality, or his character, or his makeup. Or there are those who pursue power or fame and glory, or they're very envious of what others have and they're always trying to get it. So this is one group of people that you have. They feel, look, the world is here for the taking. This is what you can get out of life, and you might as well make the most of it. You have those who pursue physical pleasures, those that are interested in wealth, those in possessions, those in power, or what it seems to them to be would be honor and fame and glory. These people close their eyes to the fact that one day they won't be here anymore. And one day everything that they have lived for will be left behind. Like it states, Le b'meisa yikach hakol. When a person dies, he doesn't take it with him. It states he leaves his wealth to strangers. This is a calculation they don't want to think about. They close their eyes to the fact that there might be another world, a spiritual world, that they're not preparing for the preparing for at all. And these are the people who are nachish. They deny tchiyas hameisim, that there will be a time when those who merit will relive, olam haba, the world to come. Actually, this was Esav. Because when Esav came to Yaakov and he was famished, and he wanted something to eat, and Yaakov said, "What would you give me in return for it?" He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want the ischus, I want the merit of your firstborn birthright." And Esav said, "What? To what value is that?" He said, "The value is that gives you the right to represent us in the Beis Hamikdash." This was before the Kahanim, so the firstborns were the representatives. It gives you the right to have the first mitzvahs. And he said, what will I have from that? Yaakov said, "What do you mean, what you'll have from that? You'll have the world to come." And on that, Esav answered, "What do I need that for? Vani ha'ilech lomus. I will live on this world and I will die on this world." He says, "Don't tell me about other worlds. Give me something for this world." And at that time, a great trade took place, our sages say. Esav traded his portion in the next world for something that Yaakov could give him from this world. So Yaakov gave him food to live on, and Esav gave to Yaakov the schus, the merit of the firstborn birthright. That was the trade that took place. And the Chazal say, Mikan, she'esav ha'yokefe b'tkiyas ha'meisim. How could someone do this? Because he denied, from here we see that he denied in an afterworld. He denied that anything would exist after this. That's why a person can give up his whole life for this world. That's why the physical world is known as Esav's world. The spiritual world is Yaakov's world. So this is one group of people. And we have all types of people like that today. These are the kafirim, those who are atheists, or other type of people that want to free and liberate themselves from any responsibilities that will be afterwards. Not interested in responsibilities of afterwards. They're only interested in what they can get from this world now. If they would recognize what would be afterwards, then they would have to make different calculations. So they live for this world, like exactly like the Rambam brings. Echol usheseh ki mochon amus. Take what you can get now, because once you die, it's too late. So they deny and they do not recognize that there's a spiritual world. So these are people that submerge themselves totally in the physical world. Now, when we say these, we're not only talking about Esav, and we're not only talking about them. There are plenty, unfortunately, there are plenty of us also that live like that. And there are plenty of us that live totally like that. And if not totally, still plenty. And we're referring not only to the nations of the world, but even to Jews, and even to Torah-abiding Jews. This is one of the great forces in the world, and therefore everybody is subject to its influence. So this is group number one. Now you have group number two. And these are people just to the contrary. They do not want to become lost in the physical world. They want something spiritual. They want to be a holy person. You don't find it too much in the West, because the West is built on Esav. This is why the West is known as the materialistic society. You find it more in the East, where Esav's influence wasn't so strong, the Roman influence. You go to other countries, you find there are many segments of the population that do not want to give their whole being for a physical material world, because they do believe in some type of afterlife, some type of higher world, and therefore they want to be holy people. They do not want to contaminate themselves with a lowly physical life. This is very, very strong. This has been very strong throughout the generations. The fact is, holy wars have been fought because of such ideologies. So what do? They do just the opposite. They want to be like angels. So they separate themselves and they abstain from all pleasures of this lowly physical world. And they pursue only what is bilti gashmi, only what is non-physical, what is spiritual. This was the way in the past and also in the present, but again we don't see it so much because we live in Esau's world. But this was the way which was common amongst the Kahani Akum, that is the priests of the nations of the world. The Rambam brings this in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos. He says as follows. Shema yemar odem. Perhaps a person will say, Oil va'akinem va'atayve va'akom v'dukiyetzi bahem. That since envy and jealousy and physical desire and the lust for glory and honor is derech rohein, this is something very evil, u'meitzinas odem in ha'olam, and not only is it evil, but it'll eventually, it's self-destructive, it will destroy a person. Like we see people lose their health and they lose their sanity pursuing wealth or pursuing power. So therefore a person will say, Efresh mehem b'yeser, I will become wise and I will abstain from this to the extreme. V'srachik l'tzaro achrei ad shelo yechal basar, I will not indulge at all. I will not eat meat. I will not drink wine. I will not get married. I will not live in a nice house. I will not wear nice clothing. I wear cheap clothing, very inexpensive clothing. Clothing which is not ornate at all. Because it's vanity. A beautiful home is vanity. It's vain. Beautiful clothing is vanity. So therefore, I will not take care of a home, my home. I will not take care of my clothing. I will not take care of my personal appearance. Look, Yitzhak. Ki hakon kahani ayiv dikakovim. These were the ways of the priests, of the idolaters. If you go to the Far East, you find a lot of so-called holy men. If you go into Tibet and into the mountains, you will find monasteries of such holy men. And they live in seclusion and isolation. Gamzer derech rohi. This also is an evil way. Ba'osa leilech bo. And one is not allowed to walk in this way. And someone who walks in this way is called a sinner. How do we know? Because the Nozir is the Jew who wanted to become holy and he abstained only from wine, and still the Torah refers to him as a chayta. He needs a kapora, he needs forgiveness for this. And our sages say, if the nausea, that the Nazarite that only abstained from wine needs forgiveness. So if someone abstains from everything, how much more so? And therefore the Chachomim said this is also not the way. A person should not deny himself that which the Torah has not denied him. And he should not accept upon himself nedorim or shvuas. Advarim amutorim. What are nedorim and shvuas? The Gemara says nedorim and shvuas are vows. What are they? They are the capability given to a person la'asor al atzmai mashemutalei, to forbade to himself what the Torah has permitted. What the Torah has forbade to him, that's forbidden. But what the Torah has permitted to him, that a person can forbade to himself with a neder shvur, with a vow and an oath. And the Chachomim said a person should be misrachik, he should distance himself from these things. Because why should he forbid himself that what the Torah permitted? The Gemara says, Leidai, is it not sufficient what the Torah has forbidden? You have to go and add more. B'kach omru chachomim, Leidai echo mashosr Torah. The sages say, it's not sufficient what the Torah has forbidden to you. Elishato esa lecha dvorim acherim. You have to add to it. U'bechlau ze elu shemis'anim tomid. And inclusive in this, the Rambam says, are those who fast many times, who accept upon themselves fasts. He accepts upon themselves frequent fasts, that which the Torah or the sages did not decree upon him, or someone who afflicts himself. And on all of this, Tziva Shleima, King Solomon, in his wisdom, commanded Al Tzadik Harbe, do not be too righteous, Al Tzchachem Yeser, and do not be too wise, Loma Tishomeim, because you will isolate yourselves. One is supposed to be righteous and one is supposed to be wise, but not too righteous and not too wise. So here we have another approach, and this is just the opposite, that if this world, the Olam HaShofel, this lowly world, it's so shofel, it's so low, so it's rachik, I will distance myself from it, and I will cleave to that what is only non-material, to that what is spiritual, in search of sanctification, in search of holiness. So that's the opposite extreme. And that was these were the ways of many idolatrous nations. And still are. They still are. And this also is derech ra'ah. This is not the way at all. This is an evil way that Rambam says. Now, these people, though, why did they do this? They had actually a good motive. We're talking here of, at least you could say, the Western culture. You ask them, why do they submerge themselves their whole life in pursuing material wealth and material enjoyments, you could say because they're not thinking. It's nicer to eat than not to eat. It's nicer to drink than not to drink. It's nicer to live in beautiful homes than not to live in beautiful homes. So they're not coming with great philosophies. That's Esav and that's Rome, and that's our Western culture, the great philosophers of the time. But on the other group is a question, why do they leave such a beautiful woman, for such a beautiful world? Kodesh Baruch Hu made beautiful homes, and they go live as a hermit somewhere in the mountains. Kodesh Baruch Hu permitted a person to marry a beautiful woman, and they go and they live in isolation and in the cold winters. That's a kasha, that's a question. So you see, the other way was built on an ideology. It was built on a philosophy. Motives were good motives, except they were misdirected. What were their motives? They said very simple. This world, we see there's all kind of evil in it. we see there's all types of tuma, of impurities in it. You don't have to look hard and long to find great inequities and great shortcomings in the physical world. We see that wine can kill a person. How many people's lives have been ruined because of alcohol? Just like drugs. How many people's lives have been ruined because of drugs? How many people's lives have been ruined because of the temptation to money and power and wealth, or women? So they have a very, very good ideology. Therefore, esrachek letzara achray. You go to the other extreme. If you want kedusha, you want sanctity. So you have to distance yourself from that which is not sanctified. And the more you distance yourself, the better off you'll be. So their motives were good, but their solutions were not. Gam zeh derech ro. This also is an evil way. Now again, when we're referring to this, we're not only speaking about the nations in Tibet and India and other places, because this was an influence in the world. And you find this, if not in totality, but you find this very strongly, at least partially, in Israel also. There were always many segments of Israel that would go to the right and to the left. And you find it many times, just like you will find many Jews who get lost in Eilam Hazeh, in this world. And you'll find today many Jews with yarmulkes and tzitzis who keep mitzvahs, but they get lost in this world. They still are living a life of pursuing wealth. When we say eat and drink, so you'll eat and drink kosher food. See, this is the Ramban that we've spoken many times. The Ramban says a person can be a manuvel b'shus hateir also, that he can be totally submerged in this world and keep the mitzvahs. So he'll be an alcoholic and kosher wine, or he'll be a glutton and kosher meat. This is the Ramban writes this. He says you can be a manuvel, you can be an ish novel, a very lowly person, and still manage to keep the mitzvahs within the parameters of the Torah. So the same thing in the other direction. You have plenty that keep mitzvahs. They learn Torah, but they go off on the other way. Like what the Rambam says, that they start to distance themselves from this world. They want to be holy people, and they try to become malochim, angels, and totally disregard the physical world. So again, we're not only the extremities are found in the nations, but the influence is found in Israel also. So this is group number two. Now you have a third group. The third group is an interesting group. And it's something that I heard from times when the Delzer Rosh Yeshivas, that this was sort of an American modern product. When we say American, we mean the New World. This is when a person is faced with this dilemma, what should he do? To get lost in this world, tomanish, not supposed to. To leave this world, on the other hand, also not. So what should he do? See, make a very good calculation. We'll make a compromise. Ha- half of my energies will be devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and half of my energies will be devoted towards this world. Like the Gemara has an expression like that, Chatzi Lachem veChatzi Lashem. What does this mean? I'll divide the day. I'll go to shul. I'll daven. I'll put on tefillin, talis and tefillin. I'll even set aside some time for learning. And then I'll pursue a secular life. I'll go to work. And I'll take care of my secular needs. Now, this would seem to be a very, very good calculation. There was one mistake, though, with this calculation. And this is that they're making a dichotomy of themselves. They're cutting themselves in half. Just like the Gemara brings that there was a bird. The Gemara was Masechta Brachos. There was a bird that used to be nishtane lekama gavonim, would change colors in accordance to the situation. Well, in accordance to the way the sun would be, he would change colors. So this is a person who would change colors. Half a day he would be a Torah Jew, a mitzvah Jew, and the other half a day he would be a secular Jew. Now, not that he wouldn't keep mitzvahs. I mean, he kept mitzvahs all of the time. Now, this Jew was very, very common in modern America. It still is. It's very surprising when you meet this type of person. He has a totally different personality and business than in shul. In shul, he has a personality of a shul Jew. But when he's in business, it's a totally different personality. And this is how his life is. Now, what's wrong with this? I once heard from Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik. Baran was the grandson of the great Reb Chaim. Well, he said that a non-Jew also has a church, lahavdil, on Sunday. A non-Jew also spends Sunday in the church. He says, what is the difference between a non-Jew and a Jew? So he said, let's look at the brochas that were given to Yaakov and Esav. When Yitzchak gave brochas in Pashas Tovus, when he gave a brocha to Yaakov, he said as follows. Vayiten lecho lekim mital ha-shomayin u-mishmani o-oretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you, this is in Toldos Bereishis Chof Zayin Posuk Chof Ches. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you, Yitzchak told Yaakov, from the tal ha-shomayin, from the dews of the heaven, u-mishmani o-oretz, and from the fat of the land. He made no distinction between the two. A little later, when Esav came, and Esav said, you must give me a brocha also. So he said, this is in the same parsha, Pasuk Lamites. Vayan Yitzchok Ovi Vayime Elov, Hine Mishmane Oretz Yeh Meshavecho Mital Hashayme Ol. The fat of the land shall be your dwelling place, and the dew of the heaven above you. He also gave him from the fat of the land and the dew of the heaven. But he said this difference. He made this difference. Your dwelling place will be in the fat of the land. The dew of the heaven will be above you. To Esav he made a distinction. To Yaakov he did not make a distinction. There's something very important in that. When we're speaking of the fat of the land, we're speaking of this world. When we're speaking of the dew of the heaven, we're speaking of a spiritual world. Why didn't he make a distinction to Yaakov? Evidently, to Yaakov, it's no different. It's no difference if it's coming from this world or if it's coming from an upper world. There's no distinction. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you from the dew of the heaven and the fat of the land. To Esav, he made a distinction. He said, your dwelling place will be the fat of the land. The dew of the heaven will be above you. He says, this is what we see by the non-Jew. We see he lives two lives. During the week, he lives in the fat of the land. On Sunday, he goes into his church. Then he comes back, and he lives in the fat of the land again. The dew will be above him. In other words, it will be a level which he can sometimes go to, but it will always be a little out of reach. He will not be able to maintain it. His dwelling place will be here in this land. But Yaakov, he says, where's your dwelling place? Mishmane or Oretz? Umital HaShemai? Both. No difference. This was the uniqueness and the genius of Yaakov. Yaakov was not a dichotomy. He was not a half a day a Frumah Jew and a half a day a secular Jew. He was not a half a week a Jew and a half a week a non-Jew. Or he was not a half a week a Jew or a half a week an American. To him there was no difference, no distinction. He walked on both worlds at the same time. Now this needs a little more explanation, but this is the underlying uniqueness of Yaakov and Klal Yisrael. When Yaakov fled from Esav, and it states he went for 14 years and he studied Torah day and night. Then he had a dream. What was the dream? Sulam Mutzav Arzo, Vereisha Magiel Shemaimo. He saw a ladder that was coming. It had a base in this world, and the ladder was going into the heavens. And the malachim, the angels, were going up and down. And the bottom of the ladder was right at the place where the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary, was to be built. And the top of the ladder was the sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash Shel Malo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctuary in the upper worlds. In other words, the physical sanctuary and the spiritual sanctuary. The rabbis give a deep interpretation to this. What did he see? He saw the joining of two worlds. There's the physical world and there's the spiritual world. And we said that they're in essence a contradiction to each other. One is spiritual because it's non-physical, and the other is physical because it's non-spiritual. Yaakov saw a ladder. It wasn't that he saw. He saw the level that he had attained after 14 years of studying Torah day and night in the Beis HaMedrash of Eber. He saw a ladder joining the two worlds, where no longer they were two worlds. And what was joining them? The level of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. And he saw that the physical sanctuary on this world was joined to the spiritual sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata, the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala, on the next world. And he saw angels going up and down the ladder. And Yaakov was known, he was called Ish Tam, the Torah calls him, which means Shalem, totality. So this is just the antithesis of a dichotomy. Instead of cutting someone in two, Yaakov was all-encompassing. He was called Ishtam, all-encompassing. The fact is, Medrash says, that he had taken all of the forces of Avraham and all of the forces that Yitzchak created, and he joined them and united them. And the Medrash says this, we also see in the same episode. Because when he went to sleep that night, it states, Vayikach me'avne hamokam. He took from the stones of the place. And when he got up in the morning, he said that I will take this stone and dedicate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this Medrash says, from all of the individual stones, they were united into one stone. So the power of Yaakov was that to be all-encompassing and all united. That's why all of his sons, 12 sons, Me'ish Echot, one man. So it's interesting that when the sons came to Yosef and they thought that he was an Egyptian king, and he asked, "Who are you?" And he says, "Kulanu b'nei ish echot." We are all the sons of one man that lives in Canaan. He called him Ish Echot. Not only was he an individual, he was one man. He was one, all uniting and all encompassing. This was Yaakov. Now, because of that, therefore, the brocha that he had was Vayiten Lecho Elokim HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you Mital HaShomayim U'Mishmani Oretz. Give you the dew of the heaven and the fat of the land. There's no difference to you. To Esav there's a difference. Esav's world is this world. At times, he might be able to reach the dew of the heaven. Tala, this world he dwells in, Mital HaShomayim Me'ol. The dew will be above him. But to you, there's no difference. Now, how can a person say there's no difference? There's no difference between the physical world and the spiritual world. And we say the physical world is such a low world, and it's full of impurities, and it's full of evil, and there's no difference. Yes, there's no difference. And where do we see this from? We see it from the Mishkan, from the sanctuary. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted a sanctuary. So he said he needs gold, he needs silver, he needs copper. You can understand that. Esav needs gold and silver and copper. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need it for? It has to be physically beautiful. The Gemara brings that it was built with the Atzei Shittim, which is from the finest of the cedars. And the Medrash brings that it was such a beautiful tree that it was given for that specific purpose. And you see that everything was done with physical beauty. All of the colors, there's purple and there's scarlet, and there's the tchelis, the blue, and there's the white, and all of the precious stones and the jewelry. This is good for a king, a boss of Adam, a physical king or a physical queen. What does the Almighty need this for? And what does he need? The sacrifices from the animals. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created both worlds. And he united both worlds. And to him, both worlds are very dear. If they wouldn't be dear, he would not have created them. If he wanted only a spiritual world, he would have created a spiritual world. If he wanted only a physical world, he would have created only a physical world. He created both worlds because he wanted both worlds. And both worlds are very dear and precious to him. When from both worlds become one world. If you divide the two, then you get what we're speaking about. Then you get a lowly physical world which is full of injustice and full of evil and full of misery and full of distortion and full of falsehood. Or you get a spiritual world like you'll find in the monasteries in Tibet. That's if you divide them. But together, they are perfect. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And when he said to build a sanctuary, he said the only way you can build it is with gold and silver and copper. And when he said to bring sacrifices, the only way you can bring sacrifices is from an ox, a bull, a sheep, a goat. Which someone might say, well, what does this have to do? How could you even bring that into the Beis HaMikdash? An animal. This is the only way. And when he told Yaakov to serve him, he told him to serve him from this world. Take this world and use it and elevate it to him. And then you will be uniting both worlds. Comes on like this, according to what we're saying. That one might say that according to what we're saying then, that almost everything in this world then is holy or can become holy, according to what we're saying. Almost everything in this world then will be mitzvahs. You're not limiting or you're not allocating Torah and mitzvahs to the spiritual world. And everything then will be kodesh, will be sanctified, will be mitzvahs. This is true. Very true. Everything in this world, if it's used in accordance to the way the Torah has prescribed, and it's used properly, and it's used with the right motives, become mitzvahs, and become avedis Hashem, serving of Hashem. How do we know this? The sages teach us this, and the Rambam brings it. The Rambam says in Hilchos Deos Perek Gimel Halacha Beis, Tzorech Odom Sheyichaven Libay V'Chol Ma'aseiv Kulam Leida Hashem Baruch Hu Bilvad. He says a man should not make an error. He should not think, what does he have to do for Hashem? He has to put on a talis in the morning for Hashem. He has to put on tefillin for Hashem. He has to daven for Hashem. He says this is not true. This refers to the new world dichotomy that we're speaking about. He says no, this is not the way to serve Hashem. A person has to know that all of his actions and all of the thoughts of his heart must be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whether it's in the Kodesh or the chol, whether it's in the section that we would call sanctified or the section that we call secular. V'yashivtei v'kumai. He said, set mitzvahs aside, besides the mitzvahs, besides the Shabbos, besides the kashrus, besides the lulav and esrog. He says, shivtei, when a person sits, a person stands, a person speaks, Hakol le'umazeh hadover. His overall intention should be that he is serving Hashem. Ketzad, for example, when he goes out to do business and he makes money, what should be his motive? Not that in the morning he goes to shul for Hashem and then later on he goes to business for himself. No. His motive should be that when he goes out to do business and make money, he's fulfilling the will of the Almighty. The Almighty wants him to work and wants him to make money, in order that he can buy healthy food for himself and healthy drink for himself and sustain himself so he can serve the Almighty further and he can sustain his children. He can marry. He can have a house and build a house that will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the same thing when he eats and drinks, or even his most intimate acts. His motive shouldn't be that he's doing this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he should do for pleasure. In the morning I go to shul, that's for Hashem. Now I eat and drink, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I should eat and drink for myself. No. That's the dichotomy we're talking about. Not that he eats and drinks for himself. Then it's going to be, he says, he'll be like an animal. Because an animal eats and drinks only what tastes good. No. He says his motive should be that he should eat and drink in order to make himself healthy and strong and happy, in order that he could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with even greater strength. If that's his motive, now he'll be very careful with what he eats and drinks. He gives an example. He says, for example, a person comes in, he comes in from the heat, he's all hot. So he says, someone who only eats and drinks for his own personal pleasures, so he says he'll eat meat and he'll drink wine, or he'll eat honey. The Rambam says, the Rambam, who was a great doctor, said that there's nothing worse for a person when he's overheated than to eat meat or drink wine or eat honey. Because these are foods that create fuel. And meanwhile, the body is laboring to cool off the person, and he's stoking the fires. But he says, if a person's motive is he's eating to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you eat to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You eat to make yourself strong and healthy and happy, and then you'll be a good servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then he'll look to see what is strong, what is good and healthy for himself. And he goes through everything in this manner. He says, if a person does this, his eating and his drinking is with this motive. He says his sleeping is with this motive. A person can go to sleep merely because he's tired, he goes to sleep. Another person will go to sleep because tomorrow he wants to get up. And he wants to be healthy and strong so he can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with great enthusiasm and great joy. Therefore, this night's sleep is so important to him. He says then that night's sleep is mitzvah. He's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his sleep. He brings Nimtso. Amahalak b'derech zeh. A person that walks in this way, kol yomav eved es Hashem tomid, he's doing mitzvahs all of the time. He's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu 24 hours a day. Afil b'shor sh'neisim v'neisim. Even in his business, he's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because his mind, his overall mind, his overall intentions, is whatever he's doing is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put him in this world to serve him. Afil b'shor shu yosher. And even when he sleeps, he's serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he's sleeping k'dei she'tanoach daito alav, in order to rest and to strengthen his body that he shouldn't get sick, in order that he'll be able to serve Hashem. Nimtza shina shalei averis lamokam. It comes out his sleeping is a mitzvah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the sages have commanded. Kol ma'asecha yi l'shem shamayim. All of your deeds must be l'shem shamayim. This is what was... Now, it comes out like this. Those who run off into the heavens, so they've just destroyed the whole beautiful world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made and gave us to use to serve Him. Those who drown themselves only in this world, this is a total selfishness, a total egoism, because everything they're doing is purely for themselves. Those who make a dichotomy from it, so they're a Jew in the shul, but they're not a Jew in the business. They're a Jew while they're putting on tefillin, but not a Jew while they're enjoying a meal, and so forth. This is why the personalities change. You'll see in the shul they're a different type of person. They come to the business, all of a sudden they forget everything. The language is a different language. Their standard is a different standard. Their code of morals is a different code. And unfortunately, you see this often. It takes more than having a yarmulke to make a Jew. But Sivu Chachomim, the sages, commanded, Yakol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shemayim. All of your acts must be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the brocha that Yitzchak saw in Yaakov. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you Tala Shemayim U'Mishpani Oretz. No distinction between the two. To Yaakov there's no difference. There's no difference if he finds himself in the heavens or in the earth. He can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu very well from both places. And I'll give you an example. Yaakov can take something, and Esav can take something. And to Esav it will be the ultimate in tumah, the ultimate in evil. And Yaakov will take the same thing, and it will be the ultimate in kedusha, the ultimate in sanctity. How's that possible? You take a glass of wine. This is something that the nations never understood by Klal Yisrael. Wine by the nations of the world is something which represents evil. This is why that whenever they talk of sanctity, you put the bottles away. This is wine. If a Jew takes wine, what does he do with it? Come Shabbos, he makes kiddush on it. What's he making kiddush on the wine for? And wine is the root of all evils. Comes a chuppah, he makes kiddush on it. Comes Pesach, to celebrate the Yetzias Mitzrayim, he drinks 4 cups of wine. Comes a Purim, he drinks more. The same thing, the same wine. Now, do you think the difference is in the label? This is what the Ramban says. What happens if a Jew takes a kosher bottle of wine and he drinks it like a goy? Then he's acting like a goy, not like a Jew. That's one example. Another example. Take money. Everyone in the world will tell you money is the root of all evils. Money is the root of all evils. Gold is the root of all. Nations have fallen because of gold. Empires have fallen because of gold and silver. That's why there are many people that come in that are not close to Torah and they can't understand. I've heard in sometimes here, I've heard in other parts of the world. Gemara tells us that it's a mitzvah when there's a need, a communal need. It's a mitzvah to gather in the shuls, to raise funds. Vafila b'Shabbos, and even on Shabbos. You know, Shabbos we don't talk about business. But the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that if it's the tzorche atzibur, if it's needed for the community, so you can gather in the shuls to raise funds. This is why on Shabbos and Yom Tov, money is raised, money is pledged. Many times people come and say, how can you talk about money? And people who are far away, what are you talking about money on such a holy day for? Are you talking about money? What is it, a sale, an auction? Are you talking about money in such a holy place? See, that's Esau's perspective, because he sees in gold and silver, he sees evil. Yaakov saw in gold and silver. With gold and silver you built the Mishkan. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayichli Zov, Kesev Zov v'Nechoshes, this is what you built the sanctuary with. What do you mean, evil? With gold and silver you can do tztoko. The Rambam brings the greatest positive mitzvah in the entire Torah, is stokah, to give gold and silver to the poor. With gold and silver you can build Torah, if it's used properly. So here we take the same thing, and to Esav it's the ultimate, the lowest of this world, and to Yaakov it's the highest of the next world. I'll give you another example. You take a man and a woman. To Esav, to the nations of the world, what is a man and a woman? This is promiscuity. This is the lowest of the low. Just Tova Hazi, go and look. Open up the newspapers and open up the magazines and open up the television sets. And to Yaakov, a man and a woman, that was a chuppah. And what was it called? It was called Kiddushin. And the highest levels of sanctity are come from that. This is all the same thing. So this is the different levels and the different perspectives. This is what Shlema HaMelech brings now. King Solomon in his wisdom said as follows. Bechol drocheho de'ehu. You shall know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. De'ehu means closeness. The sages tell us the word das means close. Now this is very important. Bechol drocheho de'ehu. You shall come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all of your ways. What does it mean? It means not only through the lulav and esrog, and not only through the talis and tefillin you can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you should learn to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways, in everything that you do, whether it's spiritual or physical. And then he will direct you in a straight path. Then he will direct you in a straight path. This is what King Solomon said. Shlema HaMelech. Now, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, we asked, what did he need a home here for? Does he lack anything? He created not the spiritual world alone. He created it with a beautiful physical world. And he wanted Yisrael to take both worlds and put them together. And he wanted to dwell here with Yisrael. To dwell here. If he didn't want a physical world, he wouldn't have created one. And if he didn't want man to live in the physical world, then he would have put man in a different type of world. He wanted him to live here, and he wanted to dwell with him here. So he said, "Va'osuli migdosh, make for me a Migdosh." Now the sanctuary has two names. It's called Migdosh and it's called Mishkon. This is what the Torah tells us here in this pasuk. Migdosh and Mishkon. Migdosh means to sanctify. Sanctify means to separate. He says, make a place for me which is elevated. Elevate what you have. Take the gold and take the silver and take the copper and take the animals and take everything that I told you and elevate it. Bring it up from this world. If you elevate it, then v'shochanti b'seichon. Mishkon comes from the word shochain, then I will come down and dwell. We have to elevate this world, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come down into the world. First we must elevate it. He doesn't dwell amongst Esav. Or he doesn't dwell amongst the others. If you can elevate this world, then I will come down and dwell amongst you in this world. Osuli Migdosh. Sanctify, elevate what you have here. Vishochanti b'seichom, and then I will come down and I will dwell amongst you. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And only this. He said, I didn't build to dwell up high. That's no chap. That's easy, to dwell up high. I want to dwell, though, in a physical world, and only Yaakov, only Israel, the children of Yaakov, can make it that I can dwell in this world. So he gave us the mitzvah of taking the lowly physical world, but with enormous potential, and utilize it. And utilize it for him, elevate it. And then I will come down and dwell. And then you have the perfection of both worlds. And it's not only in the Migdosh. The sages tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in many places. For example, it states, Asore Yoshvin, 10 people are sitting and learning Torah. Shechina Shruya B'neiham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to listen to what they're learning. Because they are elevating this world. And wherever they elevate, he comes down. B'chol Mokom Asher Asker Eshmi, wherever you will make mention of my name, you will elevate this world, I will come down. The Gemara says, Asore, Echod Minayin. How do we know? Even one? Yes, even one. One person sits and learns, he's elevating this world. He's elevating the physical material of the book that he's learning from. He's elevating the table. He's elevating the chair. He's elevating the food he's eating. Kodesh Baruch Hu comes down. The Gemara says, Shulchan Shelo Adam Kimizbeach. We Shulchan Mechaper. When we had the Beis Hamikdash, the altar, sacrifices brought atonement. Today, a person's table brings atonement. How? Depends how he eats. If he consumes the food of this world, to enjoy it. But with a further intention, a further goal, to make himself physically and emotionally strong and happy, so he can, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes happy servants. See, kings like happy servants. So he can be a happy servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and healthy. Oh, now he has elevated this food. So it says, Shulchan Shalodim Kimizbeach, that his table becomes like an altar. This was very cognizant amongst the last generation. People who remember their Zaydis, the elder Zaydis, will always remember. They used to tell them, Me'esnet Azoy. I read once, someone wrote an article that in Western culture, we've turned the meal into a filling station. That's what they wrote. It was a very good description. The dining room table has become a filling station. They're just like you zip by in a car to fill up. That's what the kitchen and the dining room table has become. See? So it becomes a mere biological function. And that the Rambam says consistently, if it's a mere biological function, so why is a person different than kibbehema, than an animal? An animal also eats. A person eats, an animal eats. What's the difference? The difference here is if you remember the older generation, they used to say, this is how you come to a table. This is how you eat. Each day you eat walking around, standing up. They say, first go wash your hands, and then wash until you die, and then make a meitzi and sit down, and don't rush so much, don't worry, the world will still be there, and eat properly, and bench properly. So a table was a table of mitzvahs. Shulchan Shalodom is kemizbeach and is mechaper. So this is the sod. See? This is the secret of the Mikdosh and the Mishkan. Where it gave the purpose, the person, the ability, that just like the person himself was created from the dust of the earth, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a soul to it, and now that person is not earth, that person is an elevated person, but the earth is still there, so did he give the person the power to do this with everything on this world, where he can take something physical And if he interjects into that physical being, into that gold, that silver, that animal, if he interjects the right utilization and the proper intentions in it, he gives it a soul. And if he gives it a soul, then gold by Yaakov is not the same as gold by Esav. And the same with silver and copper or anything else in this world. And then they have, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu joined the two worlds when he created man. He created man, offered min ha'adama, from the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. So can a person join the two worlds with everything that he was given permission to utilize. So this is the Derech of Yaakov, not like the first group that went totally into this world, not like the second group that leaves totally this world, and not like the third group that says, look, I'll be a Jew in the shul, and the working, that'll be for me and my family. But behold, Rocheho De'ehu, where a person was given the world to use, and to use for the proper motives, to use for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he creates a sanctuary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.